Street stories. This is the Tulsa Police Department podcast. Tulsa Police Department podcast. Street stories.
Welcome to the Tulsa Police Department Street Stories Podcast, an exclusive look into the workday of Tulsa police officers. In this episode, an officer wonders what you would do. More information about TPD will follow at the end of this podcast. But now, let's join the officers of the Tulsa Police Department for Street Stories.
Street Stories.
What would you do? As a police officer, I'm regularly reminded that one day I might have to shoot somebody. It's not something I look forward to, but I'm regularly reminded of that fact. I wear a gun on my hip. I put this gun belt on with a gun every single day that I go to work. I qualify at the firing range. I train for dangerous situations. But you know, the expectation of both new officers and most of the general public is that officers only shoot people in shootouts where the bad guy has either started the shooting or is shooting back. But you know, that's not always the case. I was working a specialty assignment in Midtown in uniform, but in an unmarked police car. Those types of assignments can be a lot of fun because bad guys don't recognize that it's an unmarked police car, but yet you're still in uniform. When you get out, you can do things. My partner and I were patrolling neighborhoods looking for burglars or any other sort of criminal when we heard a stabbing call go out nearby. Since we were close, we drove over and were the first to arrive. We heard yelling coming from the backyard, so we headed to investigate. As we approached the fence to get to the backyard, we saw two 30-something brothers squared off with each other. Both brothers were shirtless. One brother was armed with a barbecue fork. And you know what kind of fork that is. That's the long kind that you use to stab your meat on the grill and flip it over. The other, who was bleeding from a barbecue fork wound, was holding a bicycle as a shield, using it to block his brother's stabs. Well, first thing I did was yell police, hoping to get the attention of the two so we could sort things out. The brother with the bike saw us and apparently thought his rescuers had arrived because he immediately dropped the bike. The brother with the fork, however, didn't notice us and didn't hear us. And seeing his opportunity, he advanced on his shieldless brother. Now, here's the dilemma. The barbecue fork, again, was one of those long-handled, really long-pronged things to flip meat over. Since it was designed to puncture meat, it really wouldn't have any problem puncturing a lung, a throat, or a heart. The brother with the fork had already used it once to wound, and he was advancing. So what do you do? The distance between you and the guy with the fork is greater than the distance between him and his intended target, so you'd never reach him in time to keep him from stabbing his brother again. The brother with, well, that used to have the bike, no longer has the bike, so he is fairly defenseless. You keep yelling, "Police, drop it," but the brother with the fork doesn't pay any attention to you. Now what? And before you answer, there's no tasers, there's no beanbag guns, no police dogs. You've got what you've got. He's now advancing on his brother with the intent of stabbing him. Would you shoot him? Unfortunately for us, not all of the situations that require deadly force are situations that you picture during your police career and are certainly not depicted in televisions or movies. Even if they were, they wouldn't end with a cop being pilloried in the news for shooting a man with a fork. The news would have all sorts of experts who would say that they would have used some sort of super martial arts technique to disable the man or shoot the fork out of his hand or shoot him in the leg. But again, the situation is there, time is running out, and you have to act. So do you shoot him? And by the way, we don't give warning shots because we're accountable for every shot that we fire. We don't shoot at legs because they're hard to hit. And you can just as easily die from a leg wound that hits the descending artery as you can from a chest wound. We don't shoot arms because they move around a lot and they're really hard to hit. And remember, we're accountable for every shot. And if we don't hit the target, that doesn't mean the bullet just stops right there and drops to the ground. It just keeps going and go through a wall, or go through a window, and go through a kindergartner in the next yard over. So now what do you do? Do you shoot him? Well, fortunately for the fork-wielding brother, I had a second or so to try something else before I knew I would have to shoot him. I used my left hand to grab my pepper spray, and fortunately for me, the wind was going the right way, and I was able to drift a little bit of pepper spray in his direction. He started coughing, which made him stop. He looked around, saw us pointing guns at him, and dropped his fork.
In the Street Stories podcast, real police officers tell real stories about their work. If you want to know more about the work day of the men and women on your police force, please visit the Street Stories portion of the Tulsa Police Department weblog at www.tulsapolice.org. That same address, tulsapolice.org, is your one-stop shop for everything TPD. You can also subscribe to this podcast at tulsapolice.org/tpdpodcast.xml. The Tulsa Police Department Street Stories Podcast is a production of Tulsa Police Department Special Projects. Today's story was written by Sergeant Rick Bondi. Production assistance is graciously provided by Audio Spa Productions on the web at audiospa.net. Thank you for listening to the TPD Street Stories Podcast. And remember, yellow means wait, even if you're late.